This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Coming up at 4:20, I know you've been looking for this. More detail, more information on Dak's pregame warm-up drill. The hip twist thing that he's doing.
Okay.
We have quotes not only from the originator of that drill, but a separate coach who spun off of that coach. And we'll go into the college ranks to find one of the kids who's having a breakout year at quarterback. Uses the same drill.
Oh, of course, yes. Get your hip on.
Yeah, good backstory here. So that's coming up at 4:20. Right here, though, it's time for some Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral from America's team, about America's team. What do you want here? Week 11 players of the week. Quarterback for the Bills, Josh Allen. Defensive end, Max Crosby.
Okay. Four sacks. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the AFC awards. So Max Crosby and Josh Allen, a couple of Bills picking up awards. And then in the special teams, they're a punter won it, Jake Bailey in the AFC.
You know who will never win it? Chris Jones. Cowboys have a bad punter now. I don't know if everybody's realized that. I don't know.
He was lauded for all of his techniques.
All this talk about Phillip Rivers being washed. Where are all the Chris Jones segments? The Cowboys can't punt.
Maybe he's right-footed.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder that about my soccer team. I'm like, are you sure you're right-footed?
Just kick it. Don't think. Maybe it'll be your other foot.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week, quarterback Dak Prescott.
Hey-o.
There, Aaron Donald won the defensive, and the special teams was won by Kenyon Barner there, Atlanta Falcons punt return man. But, yeah, Dak's the story, and it was John Mashota that pointed it out. The Cowboys have won five of these awards in the last 17 weeks. No other NFC team has won more than three during that span. Amari Cooper won it twice last year in week 12 and 14, and then Blake Jarwin won it in week 17, and now Dak has won it back in week 1 and now in week 11. So, you know, to me, it's a testament to the domination of the Cowboys offense, because in order for Dak and Amari and Blake to win that award, you have to have a lot of good people supporting you and providing those opportunities.
And the one that Dak just won in the season that he's having is a testament to, I don't know if we'll ever give any credit to Garrett, but to Kellen Moore and to the way that this offense is functioning now. And a big part of that is Randall Cobb, which we don't talk about a ton, but they now have that third receiver who they're sending down the field, and you can make big plays with him. And Blake Jarwin makes some big plays. And I don't know if people realize this, Dak Prescott's on pace for almost 5,200 yards this year.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Before the year, we were talking about, what do you think, 42? You know, they're going to throw it more, maybe 42, you know, maybe 44. He's on pace for over 5,000.
This is going to be interesting, because coming up, you play four good defenses in a row. It goes Patriots, Bills, Bears, Rams. Now, whether you win or lose, that's another story. But will Dak, because if Dak goes out there and averages 310 yards, so just a little over 300 yards.
He had 397 against the Vikings.
Yeah.
So like, he's gone against a good defense and said, I can still throw this thing.
Yeah, so if he can go over 300 yards on a consistent basis or have that number after these 4 weeks, that'll be really, to me at least, really super impressive that, hey, it doesn't matter who he's playing against, he's going to put up really good numbers.
And that they can throw it as well as they have is in so many different ways a testament to Dak Prescott and his improvement. Because I remember a year ago, basically everything that we would say about, I'd like to see Dak improve in this. He was sacked 50-something times last year. He's been sacked 12 times this year. So he's going to cut that number in half. Mm-hmm. Part of it's protection, part of it's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
If you looked at where Dak throws the ball over his first 3 years, you would see this giant hole in the middle downfield where Dak just didn't go. And it was like, does Dak not want to go there? Is it a product of their play calling? Is it a product of, you know, all these different things?
Linehan and Garrett probably scared him off of it.
Probably.
Turnover land down here in the middle.
But it was the most flush place to make plays in the NFL is down the middle and down the field.
That's where you do your damage.
And through
where you win games.
Yeah, through the personnel of adding Randall Cobb instead of Cole Beasley, through getting Jarwin on the field some, and I think somewhat John Kitna encouraging Dak Prescott to just let it go and believe in it. You have now taken every weakness that people who had Dak criticisms, and I was one of them, you've taken all of those weaknesses and they don't exist anymore. That's why I'm kind of confused by anybody who remains in the Dak doubter camp. He took every single criticism that was valid and he erased it, and he did it in one offseason. So it's a credit to them for adding Randall Cobb. It's a credit to them for playing Blake Jarwin, which they should do more. And, of course, it's a massive credit to Dak Prescott.
I also think it's relevant that he was one of the top-rated passers in the efficiency stats his rookie year, because the doubters will try to say, well, he's just having one big year, you know. He's got three receivers and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and all this. But it's been a track record. You know, year one, the entire season. Year two, the first half, he was great and making serious strides until Zach and Tyron started getting hurt and Zeke got taken away. And then last year, the second half was also terrific. So, you know, maybe it's not been as comprehensive or beating you in multiple ways as he has this year. He's going to have like 100 more attempts this year than last year. It's different, but he has been highly efficient before.
And this will go back to, for me again, why there's got to be a lot of urgency this year. Maybe I'll do this around the NFL, the list of the top 50 potential free agents this offseason. A lot of them are Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I saw that list.
And one who's not on that list is Randall Cobb, but he's on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
So Robert Quinn, Michael Bennett, Randall Cobb, technically Dak and Amari Cooper and Byron Jones and all these different guys, if you want to keep this offense going, you're probably going to want to keep the elements that make it possible. And I think Randall Cobb instead of Cole Beasley is one of them. So somebody's got to be ready to be that guy. Yeah. This year has to have a massive sense of urgency to it.
Okay, it does. To all Cowboy fans that understand the salary cap, to us doing media, if you've played 10 games and 11 weeks into the season, why is it going to seem urgent to the people that the only people that can make a difference in the urgency are the coaches and the players? And if they've played 10 games without it being urgent, what makes you think that all of a sudden it's going to kick in, that this is one of those years where they have an opportunity to do something? Because they've kind of, to me, almost given up the opportunity.
Nothing. I think really it's just trying to sort of educate the masses on why this year is so important, more so than saying, hey, here's why the Cowboys are about to get it going. Just the idea that if your expectations are Super Bowl, this year is the biggest opportunity.
Yeah, you've got to be
locked
in
now. Next year, you'll have an opportunity. Listen, every year you'll have some sort of opportunity depending on how you do drafting and acquiring cheap players. But in terms of who's available to be on your team every Sunday, this is your best chance.
The best one.
So can we magically make the Cowboys come flying out of the gate every week and play like their hair is on fire and this is the only game that matters? No. But we can sort of make sure that the fan base understands this is your best chance.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be really hard to return this same roster next year. And 2 years from now, it'll be impossible to return this same roster. So it's a really important year. And in a lot of ways, unfortunately, they've already blown the best opportunity.
Yeah.
Because the best opportunity is go get a bye.
Uh-huh.
Because now you've eliminated a game. You've made yourself a favorite in the next game because you'll be at home. Like, there's a lot of opportunities they've already blown. There's the opportunity to reopen some windows if you can go do what you're not supposed to do this weekend.
I mean, there's advantages to having a young team, but one of them, I agree with Mike, is that there's just not enough guys on the team that recognize how special this opportunity is.
Old teams keep winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's you get older, you get more injury prone, maybe you're not as fast, but there's a desperation and an all-around football IQ after all of that experience. But then those guys can convince the young guys, don't screw this up. You know, you're probably not going to have a chance good like this again.
I just think you get an idea at this point in the season who is to me a real contender and who can make the playoffs. And the Cowboys can make the playoffs, but real contenders, to me, I just haven't seen it from the Dallas Cowboys.
They haven't beaten a good team.
No, and they just there doesn't seem to be, you know, when you watch teams and you're just like, that team wants it.
Yeah.
This team wanted it one game this year.
I saw that from them in 2014 and 2016. Yeah. They group tackled. They were all about it, man. Yeah. They were like, this is how we got to play to win games. And damn it,
right.
They did out there and did it.
And at this point in 2014 and 2016, I was like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
Especially 2016. 2014, I was like, well, I don't know, but I do really like what's happening. 2016, I thought at this point, this team by Thanksgiving, because we were doing the pre and post, or we were doing the post game show, I was like, this team's going to go to the Super Bowl. And it disappointed in the playoffs. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers made great plays, and Jason Garrett screwed up the clock management.
Okay, how about we get some good quotes here from Zeke, because he was talking quite a bit. There were a lot of writers around him after today's practice, and they were tweeting his quotes. Todd Archer tweeting, Zeke's run for 92 yards in the last two games, but he's not frustrated. In fact, he looks at it differently than most running backs. He says, the passing game is rolling right now, so you've got to ride it. And ride it while it's hot. Let's do that.
Hot hand, baby.
You know, what's going to happen against the good defenses, though, is they're going to slow down your running game with six. How do the Cowboys respond? So far this year, they keep running it. Can they say, all right, Dak, pass into a five-man secondary. We got this. Go.
Okay, so interestingly, I saw a number on this morning. So this is the year, and we've seen this number before, but this is the least stacked boxes that the Cowboys have seen since Zeke's been on the team has been this year. So the idea that it's like everybody's in the box and they're trying to stop Zeke and that's why Dak's having success, it's not true. And they actually see less men in the box than your average NFL team.
Wow.
So teams are in a position to stop your passing game, and your passing game has been that good.
So they've been passing successfully against coverage, and what we just want to see them do is maybe keep on how they were doing it against Detroit or bump it up just a little bit more?
You just want the magical thing that would unlock the Cowboys season would be, can you please play well in the first quarter?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
And first down.
Yes. And could you play well in the first quarter and be aggressive on first down? Because then, and this is nitpicking the second best offense in football, but that first quarter is a black hole for this offense.
It is.
Dak's QB rating is like in the 60s.
Okay. Did you feel like, and we haven't talked about this Sunday, I meant to bring it up. Did you feel like with their first down passes on Sunday, they were taking too many shots? Like, let's go 40 yards.
Maybe later in the game, because I felt early on you were setting yourself up for failure, because I remember their first pass play, they love running comebacks, and Darius Slay was following Amari Cooper, and he broke up the very first one, and I was like, well, that's because he watches tape.
Yeah.
He knows you love the comebacks.
I mean, I don't want the comebacks, but I think if we're trying to make our way down the field, just like, okay, you want to pass on first down, now we're taking shots. I don't know. That's just one of those things that with my naked eyes, I'm watching, I'm thinking I'm seeing too many shots.
And that could be up to Dak, because to me, their best play is one that has a very, very deep option coming from the slot, and then it has Amari Cooper breaking across the field, or sometimes they'll do it the other way where it's Gallup. And those in routes or those deep over routes where you got a guy coming across the field at 12 to 17 yards, to me, that's their best offensive play.
Dak loves throwing that ball. Yeah,
because you have an option. You've got the bomb, but then if that safety is backing up to cover the bomb, you've got your underneath guy running away from coverage. Obviously, you can't go back to any play over and over and over, or they'll call the right defense to stop it. But to me, that's the best thing they got.
Okay, Clarence Hill, more from Zeke here. Despite holding out for $90 million, Zeke's always been about team, which is why he's a great blocker. He's frustrated with the run game, but he's not down in the dumps. Again, the quote we had earlier, you guys make me feel awkward, like I'm supposed to be pissed because I had 40 yards and we won a football game. So love the attitude there from Zeke. I'm saying all the right stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely exactly what you're supposed to say, where it's like, yeah, I'm not averaging a great yards per carry in that game and I didn't get a bunch of yards and we won. Why are you guys like asking me, wanting me to be upset or something?
You guys are setting me up or what?
Yeah, this is a setup. I'm happy. I'm fine.
John Mashoda, Athletic, was next to Zeke when he said, quote, we know we've got some work to do on the run game week in and week out. We're going to attack that, and we're going to get better in the run game. But as long as the offense is rolling and we're scoring 35 points, that's great in the NFL. That's an awesome attitude as well. And hopefully the return of Connor Williams. And there's been great reports on that today. We'll bring some good running back.
He did some positional stuff today, and I saw that Connor Williams said he expects to fully practice tomorrow. So that means I expect Connor Williams to play this weekend. And if Lyle Collins is able to play this weekend, which I think he will, that gives you a chance. It gives you a chance to run the ball because Suofilo was not helping in that regard.
Okay, and then a little bit of The fun here around Dak, we go to Danny Phantom's account here. He's a blogging the boys guy. He says, man, I wish I would have slowed my roll on some of my Dak tweets. Not because I'm getting ahead of myself and overselling him, but because he keeps improving upon them and making those stats obsolete. It is crazy today. I don't know why I've seen so much of it today in particular, but something ignited a massive Dak conversation, and something drummed up the energy and fire in the haters. Is it all of these MVP articles, you think, from Monday and Tuesday? Is it all of the positive Dak that's bringing out the negative? Because more and more, I mean, we're going to deeper and deeper lengths. And I thought this would be a season that would totally neutralize it, and the Dak haters would be silenced and or at least change the topic. Yeah, but they're like doubling down now on...
On what, though, is my question for? I guess
most of it's the big games, because I guess I guess he's 5-10 in his last 15 games against winning teams. He's 12-12 overall for his career, mind you.
I saw your answer on that to somebody on social this morning, where you said, yeah, people said that about LeBron at 1.2. Yeah. And I feel like it's like, yes, it's really young in his career. And even quarterbacks can't win alone.
Yeah.
Dax, what was it that I saw this morning? Like his, it wasn't QB rating, but it was something like that. But even in their losses, it was a success rate on passing plays, because the Cowboys are number one in the league, 57%. When they run a pass play, it's more likely to be successful than anyone in the league. Even in their losses, their success rate throwing the ball would lead the league.
Wow.
So Dak's not holding you back in any way, shape, or form. There is no way to logically or factually draw away where this is Dak's fault or Dak's not good enough. Dak's good enough. He just needs enough help, like almost everyone else on the planet in sports.
No doubt about it. All right, there's a look at Cowboys Twitter. The full backstory on Dak's pregame warm-up hip twist thing. We'll get you that and more next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. I bet you've been wondering, man, what's up with that Dak pregame routine there where he's working his hips or doing a hip thrust? What exactly is going on there? Who's responsible for this? We go to Bruce Feldman in The Athletic. Full backstory on Dak's pregame warm-up. And then I have some Dak Prescott numbers for you, a little Dak numbers report.
Oh, you don't say?
Thought you'd appreciate that.
I didn't ruin any of it last segment, did I?
I don't believe so.
Okay, cool.
Maybe one of the stats, but they'll have a familiar ring to them. Maybe it's all these stats, and now that we're 10 games in. But yeah, the whole, well, he hasn't beaten anybody. That's the last thing you got, right? It's the whole moving goalpost. Now that he's balling with an offensive line that's broken down and can't run block, and Zeke's not performing well, but Dak is still balling. Now it's the last thing you got. Well, he can't win a championship or his record against good teams. And as we've established, your record in one score games is going to be about 500 throughout your entire career. I don't care if you're the Patriots or if you're Josh Rosen. You stay in close games, things happen, and boom, you're around 500 with very little variance on that. So the Cowboys have played three tough games this year, and they took it on the chin. But, you know, football is a small sample size. I don't have to defend Dak against you people. I can't. You should be ashamed of yourself coming out. What are these? Are these the last remaining Tony stands? The guy that
the guy's one of them.
Well, you know, there's extreme standing. This is when it becomes bad for your overall look. You know, it's just like you're so dug in that now you can't see any reality without looking through the lens of Tony got robbed.
No, like Dak is like he's living in Tonyville right now. Tony Romo played quarterback really, really well for the Cowboys, never had the ultimate success, and so therefore he's a loser. So I guess to some people, Dak's a loser unless he wins a Super Bowl.
I guess that's fair. You know, it is the world of sports, and championship is the standard that all greats are held to.
But isn't it a little early to be putting that on Dak?
I would say so.
How have you not won the Super Bowl? Can I get through my rookie deal? Holy cow.
Hey, you just can't win the big one, you know? I was talking to a guy on Twitter about that earlier, and I'm like, dude, how do you take 25 years of organizational failure and condense it and put that on Dak? Man, you guys just, you can't even get past the divisional round. Well, at least he's gotten there flipping twice in three tries. Anyway, a segment's brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss at SOTA, a DFW Airport parking, and the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. You good?
I'm good.
You good? All right. But it, right off the bat, it's called the step and torque, okay? Mike's buddy Tom House invented this son of a gun, And that's what he called it. So that's the name we're going with, the step and torque.
It's kind of like it is a big deal because it's been made a big deal. It's kind of like as a baseball player, this isn't a big deal because this is like kind of a drill you do. Now, the stepping thing that he was doing randomly, because you're throwing a football in different directions. So I can see where he's trying to get. That's different than in throwing a baseball. You know exactly where you're going to throw it to, the catcher. But I mean, this hip work thing, for me at least, is like, I mean, this is.
It is funny how it goes viral, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, look at this.
Can you believe it? You use your legs and your hips to throw a ball? Yes, that's what happens first. But like, nobody's ever like recorded it, and maybe nobody ever has done it like the way Dak did it. You know?
Yeah, you know, it looks a little bit awkward, and I think maybe Dak does it with a little bit more style. You know what I'm saying?
He
looks
also
a little cooler.
Had like, it looked like he had like his maybe phone in his back pocket. And he had on bigger sweatpants, so it made it look like a really, it looks like a harder torque than regular, like, let's say, just having on baseball pants or football pants.
Well, House explained that it is something that quarterbacks and pitchers have been doing for years, and Dak started apparently doing it even before he went to Mississippi State, because Tom House was part of the elite quarterback camps, and he'd be going around talking with the high schoolers, and Dak met him there, and you know, got it all going, and he met Tom when he was a high school prospect. A guy, Tom House, by the way, known as the godfather of sports biomechanics.
Okay.
And some of his methodologies are a little bit funny and quirky and weird, kind of Holger style, right? Is that, you have a better,
Yes, he is very different. He's tried things that haven't worked, and like, I don't want to say regretted it, but he's like, no, we're like, I've done this, I thought it would, you know, help. It might be hurting. I'm taking that away from the program. So, I mean, he will do things crazy where he might actually hurt you.
Mm.
To me, he's one of the reasons Mark Pryor had like a 2 or 3 year career is Tom House.
He screwed it up a little bit. Yeah.
But Tom House has worked on his craft and eliminated some things that he might have taught to Mark Pryor.
Well, and he also has a ton of success stories like Drew Brees with the shoulder. Why did he have such a great career? Well, Tom House and the methodologies, quite possibly. Drew Brees was Tom's first football client, and he started doing that because he wanted to take strain off the shoulder, right? We don't need more torque on the shoulder. Let's build the throwing motion from your core and your legs. He says when you watch Dak doing it, the shoulder goes back while the hip goes forward. He's actually patterning the nervous system and training the muscles in movements that are specific to what he does when he throws with an elevated core temperature. So there's some science to this. Okay. As you start playing.
Put a heat pad on your belly.
Well, as you start playing, you're starting to sweat. You're getting all fired up and everything. And that motion helps your, for whatever reason, your body get prepared for how it is going to operate when it is at elevated core temperature.
Okay.
That's interesting science right there. That's pretty specific stuff.
So when he's doing that, he's turning his hips to his left. Is that what he's doing? Which way are we going?
I'm trying to picture. Throwing a ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I could never throw a ball, because I just threw it with my arm. I don't know. So you're going to go.
Yeah. Just do it without throwing anything. Yeah. Just like golf swing.
Okay. Well, I also don't follow through in golf. That's why I shoot 100.
Tom says, you got a pivot issue there. Maybe a little bit.
Shut up. That's my business to talk about.
Hey, when you get it right, that 4-iron goes 250 yards. It's a thing of beauty. What happens when you step? Your hips go forward and your shoulder goes backwards. And when you do that, your ability to keep that separation is how you store your torque. The more torque you have, the easier for you to throw hard. That drill just teaches torque there, the step and torque there from Tom House. And there's another player who is breaking out that does it. University of Minnesota QB Tanner Morgan, one of the breakout stars of the 2019 college football season, says he's been doing a variation of it since January, and he does it in every pregame week, and he's blowing up. Okay, last year he was bad. I think he had 9 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah, he's out here beating Penn State and whatnot.
He went to a biomechanics expert named Rob Williams, and Williams has been doing the same thing. He calls it hip snaps, and he says it helps build spiral sling tension. It has to start at the hips and has to create disassociation between the hips and the rib cage. So you're trying to pull apart your hips and your rib cage, and then that's the secret to just slinging it, just letting it rip. You got to separate your hips from your rib cage, or you're not doing it right.
So does he need to do that warm up 15 minutes earlier to get us ready for the first quarter? Hadn't been working yet.
Let's be doing that quite a bit. Tom House was asked about his drill having success with other people, and he said, "Well, as long as they don't do it wrong, I'm happy. You can call it what you want. If the kid benefits, that's awesome." Tom House on the step torque
looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good. Like to watch Dak work. He's got a good butt for it. Good hips.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important to have an athletic base in sports.
I mean, it's one of those things, though, Jeff. Like, you should do that. For golf, you just don't step. But for golf, you should just do that.
He'd probably blow his knee out.
Oh,
sorry.
True.
This segment doesn't have to be about how bad I am at golf. I'm going to try
to play. You are good.
I've shot
you're
a one.
Respectable. You're saying you could take that. You're saying, like, you have a problem using your hips. Well, you could do that drill. If you do that drill for like 5 minutes, like you'll get used to like using your hips first.
Okay, I'll do it then.
Hips don't lie.
It's all in the hips.
Okay, this is from Dalton Miller, Cowboys blogger / Tolo. Is that fair to say?
Yes, you know Dalton.
He was at Fanniversary.
Last time I saw Dalton, I was like, Gavin was pretending he doesn't know you. And he was like, well, I've only met Gavin once. I've met you a bunch.
I could pick Dalton out of a line pretty easily now, as long as it's not a line of other bloggers.
Okay.
He's a veteran of, oh yeah, he's a military veteran. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that on his social media. Well, he told me at Fanniversary he was going to do a weekly report on Dak, and I was like, cool. Yeah, go ahead and, you know, when you finish those up, shoot me the link. So he did, and it was cool. And after week 11, Prescott is the league leader in some really interesting stats, and some of the basic ones are passing yards. He actually has more than Jameis Winston, who has double the interceptions that Dak has. I mean, Jameis is just slinging that thing all around the yard.
Jameis does not care.
If fantasy football didn't take away points for interceptions— Jameis would be number one, wouldn't he?
He'd be close. He's good when he's not bad.
I didn't know Dak was second in the NFL with 21 touchdowns.
Yeah, right behind Russ.
And he's been sacked only 12 on 12 dropbacks this season. That's really good. He also ranks first in expected points added at 74.9. I'm not really sure how that one works, but it's a complicated stat, and I think it's going to get a pretty...
It'll become popular because it's probably the best stat because what it does is it basically says after each play involving your quarterback, where you started and where you ended, how many points are you expecting to add to your team's total today
compared to average
play. So it's going per play. Yes.
Okay. Ben Baldwin then does expected points added per play, and he ranks first in that. There you go. There's the stat you had, success rate. That's a Ben Baldwin invention as well, and he is at 56% ranking first. 56% of his throws are successful.
Right.
And that is incredible, considering he's completing 67% of them. So there's only about 1 in 6 that he throws where it's like, man, he threw behind the chains, or man.
Right, or an incompletion on third down, or on first down, you accidentally only had a 2-yard pass.
Air yards per attempt, he ranks second. That's a Pro Football Reference stat.
Wait, I thought he was a check down guy. Dak never pushes the ball down the field.
I mean, these are some narratives that are just toast. I think it's because maybe some fans that just want highlights think you got to be able to make the laser throws like Brett Favre, like a wild man, or Patrick Mahomes, no look passes, or whatever it is. I think some people confuse the Sports Center worthy highlight throw. But by the way, he is amazing at tight windows.
Yep.
You know, Dak's also amazing at tight windows, but there's something to the velocity or the way the ball travels or how wild ass you are that gets like showmanship credit that people assign to being a good quarterback, but you can do none of that and be exceptional. Bad throw percentage, 13.4%. He does rank fifth in the NFL as that as well. He's top five for avoiding the bad throws. That surprised me.
That's why the Ringer wrote an article about how Dak Prescott is the current analytics darling of the NFL and should be in the MVP convo.
Drops. Well, they're second at that.
They dropped the ball.
They got 22. They were first overall, but they had a good year, good week hanging on.
And his
to
numbers
it.
Are still where they are, despite the fact that the Cowboy receivers drop more than most people in the league.
QBR, he's first. Deep ball completion, he's first. Production premium, I've never heard that metric there.
Me neither. That guy must be a nerd.
It's from Player Profile, but he ranks first at production premium. Against the Lions, he did total 0.46 expected points added per play and 23.1 total expected points added for the game.
That's a monster, monster game.
That's my quarterback. Okay,
good.
Around the NFL is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, Southwest Kia is home of 250 vehicles at 250 down and 250 a month. Visit southwestkia.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Boom, there it goes. Frozen rope over the middle to Mike Bacsik.
Okay, so just looking at this upcoming week of football, it starts tomorrow night, and I'd like to say this could be the best week of the NFL when it comes to matchups. Oh. If you're like me, I don't have the NFL Red Zone and the League Pass where I get all the games. So just look at these games coming up. Tomorrow night, the 6-4 Colts play the 6-4 Texans. There's a great chance on whoever wins that game has a great chance to win that division. That is a division game that will most likely decide who is going to the playoffs and who might not be going to the playoffs. I know it's easier to make the playoffs in the AFC because the wild card standings aren't that great, but that's a really good game tomorrow night to watch and to see, hey, who is going to take that division. Then you go to Sunday, and usually it's tough sometimes to have good games happening all the time. But at noon, you're going to get Seahawks at Eagles.
Woo.
And I think most Cowboy fans are going to be locked in on that game. Your only other game that's a decent game would be Panthers at Saints. But really, Seahawks at Eagles, for at least Cowboy fans, is an awesome game to start your Sunday off at noon.
You don't like Raiders at Jets or Lions at Washington or Dolphins at Cleveland?
I think what's great here is a lot of the good teams that are playing, because there are some good teams on a bye, they're matching up against each other. So we all know what happens at 3:25. It's the Cowboys at Patriots. Hopefully that is an awesome game. That is a 6-4 team versus a 9-1 team. So record-wise, that's a good game for the NFL to promote as their game of the week. Then we get to
game of what?
Sorry, a hiccup right there.
game of the week.
So then we get to, I probably won't watch this because I struggle to watch games after the Cowboys lose. So I'm just assuming I'm not going to watch this. But if the Cowboys win, I'll be really excited for Sunday night football because it's a great matchup. It's Packers at 49ers.
Let's get the 49ers to knock off the Packers, win out, and go chasing after the bye, baby. Let's go.
So you're talking about a two-loss team versus a one-loss team on Sunday night football. And then you get to Monday night football, and I do think you still have another good matchup. Even though the Rams haven't played well, they're 6-4, somewhat like the Cowboys, except they're opposite. They can't score. They just play good defense. You have the Ravens at the Rams. So just to give you, Colts at Texans on Thursday, then Seahawks-Eagles at noon, Cowboys-Patriots at 3:25, Packers at 49ers at 7:20, and then you get Monday Night Football, Ravens at Rams. I think that is a great four-pack, five-pack of games there that you usually don't get a good Thursday night, and then you get your all-Sunday good matchups and then a Monday night matchup.
And for the Rams, who have had their struggles this year, that game, a fifth loss wouldn't totally bury them, but with the rest of their schedule, if they go to 6-5, they're in deep doo-doo trying to make the postseason. Because what are the wild cards right now? It's Seattle at 8-2 and Minnesota. You're going to be multiple games back of the last wild card spot if you can't beat the best team in football. So Rams, good luck.
You sure you want to make the Super Bowl? What's going on with these NFC Super Bowl teams? Falcons, Eagles, Rams. It's like they get there. Eagles even won it. And it's falling apart. It's like, you know, you have to match up against New England, and then Bill Belichick gives everybody the secrets to how to slow you down.
Sometimes you get influenza. We got it here, but we didn't even have to win anything to get it.
Well, that's a good schedule. I am pulling for Houston. You know, I do think it's funny sometimes when it's disappointing for them, but it's getting downright cruel. Like, the amount of good teams that they've had, you know, they have Clowney and Watt and really get nothing out of it. Now you have Watt and a really good team, but
no, now you have no Watt.
Yeah. Now Watt's hurt, but you still have a good team, right?
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get the feeling around this time of year that we're just waiting for, like, the Houston December flop. Remember how they used to say the Rangers would, you know, lose it in September?
I think, spoiler alert for Friday, I don't even need to see the spread. I'll take Houston to have the bounce back game and beat Indy.
All right, let's do that. I look forward to it. Here's Jeff with Second Down.
Okay, what really matters in the NFL, we've talked enough about teams who are trying to make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. Let's talk about teams that are awful. Got the updated draft order for you guys here and some questions for each team. If the season ended today, the number one pick in the NFL draft belongs to
Cincinnati.
Bengals. Oh, yeah.
They haven't won a game. Cincinnati has pulled off a perfect season so far. Could be tough against the Steelers this weekend. Mason Rudolph's terrible, but anticipate the Bengals being able to pull it off, and they'll have the number one pick. with which they will select
Joe Chase Burrow. Young.
I'd imagine Joe Burrow. Ryan Finley has started two games for them now, and he is looking real Ryan Finley-like. He should be able to help complete the perfect season for them.
If you think it's Chase Young, then you got to trade out of that pick and just get a whole buttload of picks.
Well, yeah, but you got to trade down one spot because you can't leave your quarterback. You could let a team be like, I promise we won't take your quarterback. And you say, that's cool, but you're going to have to trade up to two, then trade up to one because then I'll come down to two.
I mean, I know that you're always going to like somebody better. But unless you like, as of today, I would assume that it's Burrow and Herbert for Oregon are going to be the top two quarterbacks.
Probably.
That if you loved both of them and maybe somebody wanted to trade and get the guy that they loved, that you could trade back to two or even to three if you know at number two, that gets into too much draft talk. But Cincinnati, there's no way you don't take a quarterback.
They're taking quarterback. Number two right now is the Washington Redskins. At 1-9, they would hold the second pick in the draft if you're Washington. Dwayne Haskins has been bad. You won't give up already, right? You'll either trade down to get more help or you'll pick a left tackle or you'll pick Chase Young. I don't think you would give up already.
Coach? I mean, that's the tough thing if the new coach is like, I don't want him.
That's a good point. And then maybe they could pick a new guy, and then they could free Dwayne Haskins, and he could have a chance on a team that actually tries to make a good team. At number three at the moment, the New York Giants. So two of the first three picks will belong to the NFC East if the season ended today. And they could go all over the place because they need lots of help. I'll say offensive tackle. At number four, what a disappointing season it's been for the Miami Dolphins. They're the only team tanking. And they got three teams that are out tanking them without even trying to tank. What an awful, awful, awful year.
And then the Steelers started winning.
Yeah, and the Steelers start winning, so you got that pick too, and it's not going to be as good. Let me scroll down and see where that's going to be. And the Jets right now are at number five with the Broncos at number six, Tampa 7, Atlanta 8, Arizona 9, Detroit 10.
By the way, my Jets have home against the Dolphins and at Cincinnati.
Home against the Dolphins. At Cincinnati. Okay, so they're going to
actually get them to five.
They could. Oh, you have money on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so the Steelers are playing well enough now that the Dolphins' other pick is 18th. Thought it might be top 10. It's going to be 18th. But salute to the worst of the worst, and a double salute to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are perfect.
That's a focused group out there in Ohio.
They are.
Okay, Around the NFL is brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Le'Veon Bell's ticked off. He wrote in a tweet, I've had 5 random HGH blood tests in 10 weeks, and I'm not doing another one after today. Whatever y'all are looking for, it obviously isn't there, and I'm not about to keep allowing y'all to stick me with those dirty needles.
Haven't you seen my yards per carry? I'm not on HGH.
Find the players who really do that HGH BS and get off me.
Hey, he better stop calling it BS. HGH is amazing.
Well, you know, he's ticked off. But
they should all be on it.
He was suspended back in 2016 for violating the league substance abuse policy. And at the time, he was just missing drug tests. He was like, no, I'm not taking your drug test. Leave me alone. Well, they suspended him 4 games. He got it lowered to 3 games and said, yeah, you never proved there was anything in my system. So he could be in violation again. But, you know, maybe he's just, you know, scared of needles.
They will suspend you. If you ended up in the program and you get tested a bunch and they say, hey, here's your next test. You go, no, get away from me with your dirty needle. They'll go, okay, here's your next suspension. So that's the tough part about that.
You ever do something that's not in your best interest, but you're just so sick of it? You're like, fine.
Stand on principle.
Yeah. And I don't.
He has.
Yeah.
He sat out a season.
He does. Yeah, he does quite a bit of that. So now missing another test or yielding a positive result would invoke another 4-game suspension for him. But that would put most of the remainder of this season or the beginning of year 2 in jeopardy. So, I don't know, maybe he wants out of New York. You know, maybe that's a fly like a fox type deal.
Yeah, you get signed.
I'm not going to be around for the first 4 games of next year, guys.
Heck, they were talking about trading him. They were talking about how Adam Gase didn't want to sign him, but then he's there and it's all good. And now, later in the year, they're like, hey, could we trade Le'Veon Bell? And now he doesn't want to take drug tests. So, yeah, we'll see.
Little bonus on 4th down here. Lamar Jackson leads fan Pro Bowl voting. And I think that's an awesome story. I was reading about the Ravens yesterday, and it kind of went into their decision to bring in Lamar Jackson. It was just a couple of years ago. They did a season ticket poll for some of their fans at the end of the season, and some of them that weren't buying tickets anymore, or people in the city that weren't watching the games on TV anymore, were saying, listen, we don't like watching because you guys play boring. You have Joe Flacco, you hand the ball off too damn much, and you try to play great defense, and it's just not that entertaining. So the Ravens front office actually decided, and as a way of operating the team, hey, let's see if we can get more exciting playmakers in and around our roster to make this product a little bit more TV friendly, or the kind of product that might attract season ticket sales. And I would say leading the Fan Bowl, the Fan Pro Bowl voting is a pretty good sign that it's mission accomplished.
Yeah, and also being the top scoring team in the league, I believe they're getting 34 a game. I think that'll help make fans think that it's exciting.
That's usually you think, well, let's get exciting, but we might not be able to win. But the exact opposite's happened, right? They're throwing caution to the wind and
if
winning.
Anybody like Lamar Jackson, and it'll be really hard to ever be like Lamar Jackson, because holy cow, is he unique. But if anybody comes out of college football like that and goes 32nd again, whew, you should have at least 25 fired GMs.
Mm. Okay, coming up next, we are 90 minutes from tip-off. One player from contention. Is that all the Mavs need? It's the best way to get more help around Luka. We'll discuss that next in the G-Bag Nation, Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.